you heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
He's going to dribble it before he hands it off to Wigginton. Wigginton right back to Thanasis, who takes flight with a big two-hand slam.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
As the final horn sounds, we are done with the regular season here in 2022. On to the playoffs.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Well, what do you really take from this one?
Here we go now! Here we go!
An ugly performance. It started early. The Grizzlies just came out and had that look. Bucks came out and had a very similar, or a look as well, very different. Look, it seemed like this was a game. I'm not going to come out here and question effort. It seemed like a game the Bucks were not interested in. And the Grizzlies were motivated, were up for this game. For whatever reason, the Bucks just were not. And you have a 41-point loss. Whatever it is about this building, I, for one, would be in favor of never having to go to the FedEx Forum ever again. When you look at the last three times the Bucks have visited there, the 25-point loss last season, a 41-point loss this season, and then also last season, a preseason game that didn't even finish because we had fire alarms going off. So whatever happens when the Bucks go to Memphis, it's crazy. And tonight was no different, as this was just rough all around. And we were talking about this a little bit off the air about, boy, how many of these types of games do you remember seeing here? And to me, we've certainly seen them. And last year, not 40-plus regularly, but last year seemed like we had a decent amount of these. I don't even know who this is on the floor, who's going to be in the rotation for this team. The last couple of years, we've seen that with health and safety protocols and everything else ripping through the league. But this one, you go back to last year in Miami, game number two of the regular season, where the Bucks, in very similar fashion, were just embarrassed by the Miami Heat. And that was a game where you did have Giannis and Chris Middleton, just like you did tonight. Obviously, the big difference was no Brook Lopez. But this was a Grizzlies team. This is a Grizzlies team that, for whatever reason, just seems to have the Bucks number. And I know before the game against the Warriors on Tuesday, talking about this off the air, and I suggested to Dave Kane, whether or not he'll admit to this, we'll see, but I suggested, you know, losing Drew or not having Drew is big, but I honestly think it's a much larger loss for the Warriors to not have Andrew Wiggins than it is for the Bucks to not have Drew Holiday in this matchup. And the reason is, we saw Javon Carter, not that anybody can contain Steph Curry, but Javon Carter's pretty good replacement to throw in there and just follow him around, run through those screens, just constantly chase him, pick him up the length of the floor, stay with him. He'll match the energy and the movement of Steph Curry. And you know Steph Curry's going to get his points, but that's a guy that's going to at least be there on the perimeter on him. This is a Memphis Grizzlies team where you really, really missed Drew Holiday. It's much more imperative to have Drew Holiday against this team than it is the Warriors. And to just finish that point on the Warriors, no Andrew Wiggins. I mean, Andrew Wiggins does all those things we talk about Drew Holiday doing. Andrew Wiggins would have had matchups on Giannis, on Drew, on Chris. He would be their small ball four at times, very similar to how you see the Bucks use guys like Chris, like Pat Connaughton, depending on the matchup. He's the Swiss Army knife. Draymond Green really was that guy early on in that Warriors run. But he being Andrew Wiggins, has become that guy. He's the defensive MVP. So that was an advantage Bucks in that trade-off of players out. Tonight, not so much. You needed the head of the snake in Drew Holiday to put up some resistance prior to getting into the paint and to help out the Bucks in the paint. Because Ja Morant, you know, that's the other thing that jumps out, is 86 points in the paint. And the fact that that's not even the most we've seen scored in the NBA this season. But Ja Morant does that. even more so than Giannis, Ja Morant gets into the paint and scores, and that's where you really miss Drew Holiday to kind of cut him off and at least defend him there around the basket and help the Bucks offense in the paint as well. So an ugly one in Memphis. Where to even begin with this one? I think where you begin is burning the tape and getting ready for the Utah Jazz on Saturday night. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us. We ordinarily get to the turning points of the game and the sub of the game. We have more options for the sub of the game. Turning points of the game is going to be rather interesting, but we'll figure out what it is next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
I was just going to let the music play for the next 50 or so minutes because it's one of those nights for the Bucks, not pretty, to say the least. A 41-point loss in Memphis at the hands of the Grizzlies. Boy, let's try to figure this one out, shall we? This is usually an easy one to pick. Let's do the turning points of the game. And we'll try to figure out over the course of the previous 48 minutes where this one really swung. The turning points of the game.
The moment it all turned around, for better or worse, this is the turning point of the game.
Okay. I guess, is it as simple as the opening tip where the Grizzlies won? A very, very rare occasion where Brook Lopez loses the opening tip. And from there, 5-0. It's not like the Grizzlies just came out bombing away and running. They were running, but they weren't scoring. It was very ugly offense from both teams in the first couple of minutes. I think it was 5-0 Memphis before they finally started to get some footing. There was just a bunch of weird plays in this game. Brook Lopez losing an opening tip. The back and forth with Chris Middleton and Dylan Brooks. I think more frustration than anything, but did Chris Middleton get a flagrant one? You had one of the... Talk about Brook Lopez losing a tip as a rarity. This, one of the all-time rarities, a foul, a take foul, a technical foul, and a flagrant foul all rolled into one. I mean... That could have been the turning point, but it was already well over by then. It was 33-18 at the end of the opening quarter. And even there, even with 36 minutes left, and you looked at what the score was, you looked at how Memphis was getting their points, and you looked at how the Bucks were not, it didn't seem like you were going to make a dent in that 15-point margin over the course of 36 minutes. And not only did they not make a dent, that margin almost tripled as the Bucks dominated in Memphis. 142-101. Our turning points of the game tonight. Hopefully the first time this is used, at least in a loss. The turning points of the game is the opening tip. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. On Bucks Talk, if you've got something to say after this performance tonight and this loss at the hands of the Memphis Grizzlies, who at this point, you just got to say they have the Bucks number. Ja Morant with a triple-double, by the way. A couple of games now where, you know, Giannis, the free throws are at least improving. That's the positive, but... Offensively, we've continued to see it's taken more and more work for Giannis. Tonight was not a pretty offensive game for Giannis. Tonight was not a pretty offensive game, really, for anyone. But this is a game where you just burn the tape and move on and get ready for the Utah Jazz. Now, I do want to say this. We've spent a decent amount of time talking about this 10-game stretch we kept referring to it as. Yeah, the 10 games starting with that game in Dallas and extending basically all the way until the Bulls game. We're going to throw the Bulls in there. just because of the border rivalry and the fact that we see competitive games between the Bucks and the Bulls the last couple of years. We have seen competitive games between those teams, I should say. So, given that, that's probably going to be a tough game. But so far, you're 2-2 in this stretch. And we said, boy, you really, really, you don't want to go 5-5. You want to make a little bit of a dent in this. And I know it's an incredibly difficult stretch of scheduling. The Bucks, frankly, you don't have another stretch like this all season. Because again, look, Dallas, still not where they wanted to be in terms of the standings, and now they're starting to deal with some injuries. We should just turn this into the NBA show tonight after the performance we saw from the Bucks. But the Dallas Mavericks, not really where they hope to be, but it's still Luka Doncic that you have to contend with. Houston Rockets were in there just because we're saying a 10-game stretch. Well, that fell within the 10 games, but really it's eight really tough games. And then you have the Rockets and the Bulls. Well, you lost that Rockets game. The Golden State Warriors. I think there was a little trepidation going into that game on Tuesday because they're really bad on the road. And Frank, they're horrendous on the road at this point. They lost a back-to-back in Milwaukee Tuesday. They lost last night in Indiana. They are 2-13 on the road. Only the Magic have been worse. And this is a team that won the NBA championship 6 months ago. 2-13 on the road. I think there's a little bit of hesitancy of, yeah, the Warriors aren't great on the road, but it's the Warriors. They got shooting. They won the title. You won that game. You think, all right, maybe we can piece something together. Hopefully, Drew Holiday will be back. And then we see on the injury report he's not. And now, at this point, I'm going to be very curious to see the injury report for Saturday's game because it's a non-COVID illness. We saw Serge Ibaka and Marjan Beauchamp miss basically 2 weeks with a non-COVID illness. There's a flu that's been ripping through the team for the last couple of weeks. Marjan Beauchamp has since returned. Serge Ibaka, by the way, was out once again tonight with a non-COVID illness after returning from a non-COVID illness. So you really hope this isn't going to be Drew Holiday's turn to miss a week plus with some type of illness because this 10-game stretch, it's at its most difficult portion right now. Memphis embarrassed you. Utah is a good team. The Jazz have NBA players on their roster. Coming into the season, none of us thought the Jazz would be good. You saw them trade Donovan Mitchell. You saw them trade Rudy Gobert. And I think the easy take on this team was, well, Utah is going to be terrible. They're not trying to win. You traded your two best players. Mike Conley's probably going to be traded at some point. There's no way this team is going to be respectable. And then the first week of the season, you see Utah starts winning some games. And then Utah keeps winning games. 3-0 to start the season. They were 10-3 at one point this season. They have since fallen back to earth, but they're still above 500. 30 games into the season, they've won 16 of those 30 games. It is getting past the point of, well, it's a cute start. They're a pretty good team. And they have guys on that roster that can make you pay. We just look at the big names for the Utah Jazz of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, but we've seen Lauri Markkanen become a Costco version of Dirk Nowitzki this season. And that's another thing that it started early in the season and everybody pointed to, well, yeah, but that's not going to last. So far, it has lasted for Lauri Markkanen. Jordan Clarkson, you know he can do one thing at a high volume, and that's score. He's continuing to do that. Mike Conley has been like the perfect mix of the veteran that's leading the team with these young guys. They got very, very good rotational players in that trade for Rudy Gobert. Malik Beasley. Rudy Gay comes over. Walker Kessler. Jared Vanderbilt, their starting center. He's one of those guys at every team. That's the type of guy that you want. A lot of young, serviceable talent on that team and just a lot of guys that are better than replacement-level players. And that's where you thought the Jazz would be. It's just guys that are not good. They're not going to try to win. Well, They're continuing to try to win. And at this point, it's probably too late to tank for the Utah Jazz. So that's going to be a tough matchup on Saturday. Next week is where it gets very, very interesting for the Bucks, because we've talked about this 2-2 start to this really, really tough stretch of scheduling. You don't want to go 5-5. It's an incredibly tough stretch. You could certainly understand 500, but you don't want to go 5-5. 6-4. Now we're talking 7-3. 8-2 would have been great. You're 2-2 so far. But once you get past the Jazz on Saturday, and here's the other thing, you got to win at home. If you're going to have these incredibly difficult games on the road, you better win your home games. Bucks have still remained pretty good on the road. Still above 500 on the road. Not many teams can say that. But maybe that changes next week at New Orleans, at Cleveland, at Brooklyn, at Boston. There is not a four-game stretch that is like that left on the schedule for the Bucks. You might have three or four games against quality opponents, a couple of them very tough opponents. They're not all on the road, and they're not all at that caliber, because right now, Brooklyn Nets are playing like a good team. New Orleans Pelicans are a really good team. We talk about the Utah Jazz just having quality NBA players. New Orleans just continues to find guys. And oh, by the way, Zion Williamson looks pretty good. Brandon Ingram has been very good for them for the last couple of years. So New Orleans is a tough team. Cavaliers, we've seen. That's a tough team. And then the Boston Celtics in that highly anticipated first matchup between these two teams, who, by the way, Boston gets Robert Williams back tomorrow night. Maybe the Bucks will get Joe Ingles back in time for that game, but you don't want to split everything here and get to that Celtics game where you have a chance to be below 500 on this road trip. You got to win some of these road games, and you especially have to win Saturday against the Utah Jazz. 855-616-1620. Number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk when we return. The strength tonight really came from that second unit. We will take a look at who was the best. The sub of the game gets handed out next on Bucks Talk. So are we're restarting the game, basically, because I would be in favor of that. This is usually this Fort Minor song is the bed that we use going into the actual game broadcast. So let's just do that. I know we've done virtual basketball before, but let's just restart this whole friggin' game and see if we simulate here. The Bucks at least don't lose by 41 points, right? But you can even change the starting lineup and take Giannis and Chris Middleton out, and the Bucks are not losing by 41. For whatever reason, they save their worst performances for either against the Miami Heat or the Memphis Grizzlies. And tonight, it was the Memphis Grizzlies that got that honor of getting the worst from the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines. Hopefully you got some good news for us, but we'll start with our old friend Dick in Port Washington. Dick, where do you go with this one?
Well, my buddy Justin, North Carolina, said he was going to call in, but I don't think he's going to after this one. And this is one, you're right, you burned the tapes. But I think a worse loss was losing to Houston. This is a game tonight that they couldn't do anything right, and we couldn't do anything. I mean, I'm sorry, they could do everything right,
right.
We couldn't do anything right.
Right, like they were in the 90th percentile, and the Bucks were in the first percentile, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, I mean, and that happens, so you erase that. But the Houston game, that's, to me, much more inexcusable than this. Now, I will say tonight, what kind of concerned me is that from the first quarter on, they kept saying that the Bucks were frustrated. You know, it's the first quarter. And you saw some things in there that you just don't see. There was a lot of, to me, I thought there was a lot of glaring at each other. Something just was missing tonight. And I think you're right. This game was lost when they got on the plane at MKE and flew out. So that's a concern to me, but I guess it's a long season, and I don't know what to take from this. You know, the only good thing is that Grayson is still on the team. I'm starting to get concerned about what I'm reading online about the different combinations they can have. Currently, it is a combination where we give up George Hill, Serge Ibaka, the guy you always like to match the salaries. And maybe that would be okay. If we could get him, Jay Crowder, and keep Grayson, I think it'd be worthwhile. Outside of that, I don't know. The ship's going to take on too much water as far as I'm concerned.
What is your takeaway on Jordan Wara seeing some playing time and scoring 10 points tonight?
By then, I was watching reruns of Johnny Carson. Sorry. I did check back and forth, you know. But one thing I did see, and I guess this is good, during a timeout, Bud got Thanasis on the sideline. And was pretty heated with him, and Thanasis, and he listened, you know, and I think he's got to get back to a little spark, and it's not just because he's Giannis's brother. I think he's a part of the team, and Giannis and Bud is still working with him, and I think that's a positive. But then again, you know, I guess I got one of the last life jackets on this ship before it sunk tonight by watching Carson. So I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't fun to be a part of for the full 48, Dick. And we've talked about this all throughout the season. I recognize if we look up and down the roster, what is the one thing you would say the Bucks need the most? It's probably another bigger defender, a bigger wing defender. But you know, like you and I both said, I know they need that. I'm still not willing to pay the price of Grayson Allen for that. So if you can find another way to make it work, even if it's not Jay Crowder, if it's just somebody on the perimeter with more length, because, look, ultimately, I think there's a really, really good possibility that Marjon Beauchamp is ultimately that guy we're talking about. But in all likelihood, it's not this season that he's that guy.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing about Grayson this year versus last, he's much more comfortable in the system, and he brings a dimension that they've got to respect. His drives to the hoop from both right and left sides has been good. You take him out of there, you know, maybe you got Connington that can do it, but then you're one guy down on the bench. If we can get Crowder without losing Allen, do it. Otherwise, I just can't see it.
Well,
I mean, if you got to give up Hill, you give up Hill.
Well, and to that point, here's the other thing is, look, we saw how it went last year with an injury, but you give him up, you're treading water there. You're bordering on very, very thin in the backcourt. And what do you do then if Javon Carter goes down and you've already traded Grayson Allen, or if George Hill is in the mix and he goes down? You're very, very thin in the backcourt. So that's another reason why I would just be very, very hesitant to move on at this point.
Yeah, I think the best thing is not to do anything. That's what I think. Don't make a move.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, so George Hill's at $4 million this year. Jordan Wara is at $3 million, and
seven. You got to get close to 11.
Yeah, and Serge Ibaka is at 1.8. So you're just at $8.8 million. You can go over by 120%, but Jay Crowder is
10.8.
Yeah, Jay Crowder's 10.1. So,
10.1. Okay, so you can do it.
So you're very close with that combination, but then it's the same thing about, you know, depth. George Hill has been valuable so far. I think George Hill's been very good this season. And you know, we heard at Media Day when he was very frank about everything he went through last season, whether or not he should have been playing last season, we're past that conversation and it's a different argument. But everything he went through, there was optimism of, okay, I do truly believe he's going to look different this season. And so far, through, 28 games, he's looked very different. He's looked closer to the guy we saw a couple of years ago than the guy we saw last year.
Yeah. The fourth name in this, too, was Wes Matthews and still some draft picks. How many number two picks do we have, do you know, in the future?
And here's, you know, here's the interesting thing, too. I'm very curious just what the value is of those picks to begin with, because in the past, that's really been how John Horst has pulled off some of these trades. I think in terms of second rounders, they have most going forward. It's really the first round picks where this year you don't have it. In next year, New Orleans can pick swap with you. 2025, you don't have it. In 2026, New Orleans can pick swap with you. In 2027, you don't have it. So they're decent on the second round picks, but also we've moved further and further away from second round picks really netting you much. And I think part of that too is the whole buyout market, because a lot of times if somebody's going to be made available and he's, let's say, 80% of the player that you were willing to offer, we'll throw in the salary filler and two or three second round picks. Well, if somebody's going to be bought out and you can get a player that's 75 or 80% of the value for free and just the money that you're spending, you're going to do that instead. So I wonder what the currency actually is on second round picks for this season and beyond now.
And another concern is Ingles' mid-level exemption. You know, that 6-2 that you have now if you didn't sign him. So he's got to come through. Otherwise, that was not a good move. But, you had the opportunity. I guess you should have done it. And that's another thing, reading the internet. You know, they think Ingles can go back and do some of the stuff that Allen does. Ingles isn't going to go to the hoop like that anymore. I just can't believe it anymore. He's going to be a three-point shooter, pick and roll, but it's not going to be like slashing like Allen does. So,
yeah, and thanks for the call.
I'm just having more negativity, to a crappy night. Sorry.
Well, let's get it all out now. I mean, that was one of those kinds of nights. Thanks for the call, Dick. And Joe Ingles will give you that length on the perimeter. But look, at this stage in his career, he's not. Like when we say they need a long, rangy wing defender, Joe Ingles is a smart guy. Joe Ingles can hold up on the post. Joe Ingles is not that same guy anymore. But we have seen this medical staff really work some wonders on some guys. And look at Brook Lopez finding the fountain of youth following his back surgery. So that's another reason for optimism with what we'll see from Joe Ingles. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. We heard from Dick. Let's hear from our other guy. He promised he would call. Despite a 41-point loss, he does, in fact, call. Justin in North Carolina, you're up on the show.
Come on, Dick. You got to have more faith in me than that, my brother. I hope all is well up there in Port Washington. Man, this was ugly, Justin. It was. There's nothing to say that hasn't already been said by you. You know, the great Packer, Leroy Butler, and Gary Ellerson always used to call these throw these in the trash games. That's what this was. Couple things from the game that I didn't like. I agree with you. The turning point may have been with the flagrant foul on Middleton. I was like, oh, this is about to be an ugly night when that happened. I didn't like, what's the guy's name for Memphis, the backup center that let Ja Morant get the rebound so he could get the triple-double, that had to flop and got up laughing when Bobby Portis and made it seem like he was hurt with a World Cup injury since we're in soccer season night? I don't like all that crap that guy was doing. Like, first of all, you're up by 50 million points. Like, come on. This is one that's really – and the thing that I love about this Bucks team, right, I'm not worried about Saturday. I'm not worried about the rest of the road trip or anything like that, because these guys are pissed off now. I'm sure they looked down at the end of the bench and saw the Memphis Grizzlies doing the wave and Ja Morant, his antics, and all the trash talking that goes on in Memphis, and I think that's why it's so tough for us to play, because we kind of get out of our psyche when we get in that building, right? And we came, and we came out pretty – not even pretty bad. Probably one of the worst games we've
very,
seen
very
in
flat.
A long time.
Yeah. If there's anything very lower flat. Than flat, that's how they came out.
Absolutely. So we'll let the Memphis Grizzlies fans have it on Twitter. They can bring us all the noise they want to bring. That's fine. It's okay. It's a long 82-game season. I remember last year, I know we were a little shorthanded at that time, but we got blown out by the Clippers. I believe it was like 153 to 119 or something like that. So losses are going to happen. I'm okay with a loss like this. Here's why. when we lose to the Bulls by 4 points, right, we all call you and we're charged up and we're pissed off and we're like, that play in the third quarter, that flop by Varechild, they gave DeRozan this play and that play. There's nothing we can look back on for this game and say shoulda, coulda, woulda. We got our butts kicked.
Yeah, you
know, I'm watching this. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I'm watching this New Orleans and Utah game. This is a heck of a basketball game here, and I think the Bucks will come out ready to play against these guys, Justin. I really do. Both of these teams. I think we're going to win them both. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I'll put a hot take out there. We're going to win both these games.
I'm very curious to see the New Orleans game just because it's a team that has slowly been building things, and they're starting to implement a lot of young guys that are really, really giving them big contributions. Dyson Daniels has been huge for them so far this season. Herb Jones, the last few years, has been big. Even Trey Murphy and what he's started to do for them. And that's the one thing about Memphis. When you looked at the schedule, and we've talked about this 10-game stretch, for whatever reason, when you look at some of these teams, Boston is really, really good, as we all know. I still have confidence when the Bucks play the Boston Celtics. They've matched up with them well. Obviously, we know the difference or the reason why they didn't match up so well in the postseason. Chris Middleton not being there was a big part of that. But they match up really well with the Cavs. They continue to match up well with the Nets. You just have confidence in those games. And for whatever reason, the last couple of years, I have just never had any confidence when it's the Bucks and the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know if it's as simple as Memphis is a much younger team. Bucks are already the oldest team in the league. And Memphis is one of the youngest, right, and they just get out there and run that it's been a bad matchup for a couple of years.
It's kind of like Badger football when they go to Iowa or Badger basketball when they go to Iowa. There's certain places where our teams out of the state of Wisconsin, they just don't show up and play well. And I think Memphis is that arena. That crowd is really ruckus in there. Those players, Dylan Brooks, I mean, I think he starts talking trash before he even gets to the arena. He talks to himself in the rearview mirror on the way to the game.
And that,
golly, man.
Yeah, and we saw that early with Chris. I mean, there was talking back and forth. That's what triggered Chris just grabbing at his leg out of frustration is they were going back and forth the previous trip down the floor. So Dylan Brooks, Memphis just did a good job of throwing the Bucks off and just frustrating them immediately.
And the scary part is they didn't even have Desmond Bane, which is a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Drew Holiday coming back, he kind of solidifies things on both ends of the court. Earlier on in that game where it's kind of tough and we can't score, Drew is a guy that'll go get you a bucket. I'm really looking for this team to play well. I will say this to you about this New Orleans game, though. We're definitely going to need Drew. All those guys you mentioned, they also have that backup guy from Georgia Tech off the bench, feisty. The Hispanic guy,
Alvarado,
ball player. Yes, very good team. They have Devontae Graham coming off the bench. So there's a lot of good competition there. But you know one thing about Giannis and these guys, they get up to play that. And I guarantee you, they won't be sleeping on Utah either. Utah's good. They're solid. They're in overtime now. So we'll be fine. One thing that the Bucks fans, that ones that are upset, I know there's a lot of craziness that goes on Twitter. Bucks Twitter is probably the worst thing ever. We just got to remember, we're playing to attempt for May and June again.
Right.
You know, we're going to lose. We're going to have some stuff. We're going to look back and Budenholzer did this that pissed us off and all this stuff in December, January, and February. Just take a deep breath. It's a long fight, man. I think we'll be all right, man.
Yeah.
And last thing, I didn't want you to fall on that sword by yourself. I told you I would call in. I'm a man of my word. I'm going to call in after we beat Utah.
All right. Well, I hope you're right. And look, I feel better against the Jazz. But to your point, they need Drew Holiday back. And thanks for the call, Justin. They need Drew Holiday back. I'm just very curious to see that injury report because we've seen these non-COVID symptoms cost a couple of guys 10 days or 2 weeks now. And you cannot be without Drew Holiday for the rest of this stretch of games. If he's still going to miss the game Saturday and maybe miss the first part of it, is he still working through this fine? But once you get to Cleveland, Brooklyn, Boston, especially that Celtics game, you would really, really love. And again, the point we made is it's a bad loss. It was an ugly game. It's December, right? If this is stuff that's happening in March, consistently, then it's a different conversation. It's an ugly performance a month and a half into the season. You throw away the tape. But those games, especially that one against the Celtics, I know we just made the point of don't worry about early in the season. You still want to have a showing in a game like that against the Celtics on Christmas Day. They're getting the Time Lord back tomorrow. Maybe, just maybe, you'll have Joe Ingles on the floor for that game and hopefully Drew as well. But yeah, I'm with Justin too. It's a tough stretch of games, but I still feel really good about the teams at the back end of that stretch. The teams like the Cavs, like the Nets, like the Celtics. We've seen the Bucks play all of those teams well and tough. For whatever reason, they just have struggled to do that with this Memphis Grizzlies team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Got about 15 minutes left on the show. When we return, mentioned a lot of options for this one. We will hand out the sub of the game next on Bucks Talk.
Come on. Yeah. For the world. What? Come on. Peace. Peace. Peace.
142-101, the final from Memphis. This was like the first 90 seconds or 2 minutes of that Bear versus Leo scene in The Revenant. You didn't exactly leave in a draw. This was all the Bear in this one. 41-point loss is the 11th time in franchise history the Bucks have lost by 40 or more back-to-back years. 42-point loss in Game 2 last year against the Miami Heat. Now a 41-point loss tonight at the hands of the Memphis Grizzlies. And I mentioned, for whatever reason, this Grizzlies team just, it's not even plays the Bucks tough, just dominates the Bucks. The last two games played in that building between these two teams have been decided by 66 points in favor of the Grizzlies. Average margin of victory, 33 for Memphis in their last two home games against the Bucks. We mentioned the next two teams the Bucks will play are playing right now, and that's in New Orleans. It's in overtime, 127-123. The Jazz lead the Pelicans. Big game from Zion, who's up to 29 points, and a big game from Jordan Clarkson, who's up to 39 points. So a chance to keep the show on in the background and do a little bit of advanced scouting and get a look at the next two opponents for the Bucks. All right, the starters really went through their struggles tonight for the Bucks. 1-12 from Middleton, 5-13 from Giannis. Javon Carter was really the only guy that was efficient for the Bucks. 3-6 from the floor, 3-4 on three-pointers. Brooke was 1-6. Grayson Allen was 2-7. The Bucks shot poorly from the floor and from three. 26% from three, but those starters. 1-8 from Chris. 0-4 from Brooke, 0-2 from Grayson Allen, 1-3 from Giannis, 2-17 from four-year starters tonight. And then there's Javon Carter, who's 3-4. Starters struggled. Bench also struggled, but not to the same extent as the starting five. So the Bucks did have five players score in double figures. Four of them came from the bench, including tonight's sub of the game.
The bench mob was hungry, and someone ate. Who was it? Tonight's sub of the game is...
Well, Bobby Portis led the team in scoring. Both he and Giannis had 19. Bobby led the bench with those 19 points. 62 bench points tonight. 19 of them came from Bobby Portis. We could cop out here, and this would be, I believe, the third straight win for Bobby Portis if we give it to him. I'm going to give it to Marjon Beauchamp. Made his return to meaningful playing time. The game wasn't meaningful. The minutes were. 12 points. Got to the free throw line five times. Got up six threes. Granted, he made one. 4-9 from the field, but Marjon Beauchamp out there for 22 minutes tonight. Our sub of the game in this lopsided defeat at the hands of the Grizzlies, 142-101. We will see if that game between the Jazz and the Pelicans has gone final and gets you set for the Utah Jazz. That game Saturday night at Fiserv Forum. We'll do that next on Bucks Talk. Utah Jazz up 3 in overtime, 130 to 127. They lead the Pelicans, and these are the next two opponents for the Bucks. The fourth of five December home games is Saturday night between the Bucks and the Jazz. And then it's a five-game road trip in New Orleans, in Cleveland, in Brooklyn, in Boston, and in Chicago before returning home to play the Minnesota Timberwolves and wrap up the calendar year of 2022. So we will keep an eye on that one and see if it's the New Orleans Pelicans that'll be in a tie for first place with the Memphis Grizzlies. And again, just how remarkable this stretch is for the Bucks. The first place Boston Celtics, the Grizzlies and Pelicans in two out of three games, they're tied for first place. The Nets are up to fourth. The Cavs are up to third. The Jazz are hovering around the playoffs at currently seventh. A remarkable stretch of games that the Bucks have here on the horizon. And they're 2-2 to start this 10-game stretch we continue to point to. We will wrap up the show and preview Saturday night against the Utah Jazz next on Bucks Talk. Wrapping things up here on Bucks Talk, the 41-point loss edition of Bucks Talk as the Grizzlies maul the Bucks. 142-101 down there in Memphis. I mentioned the two teams playing, who are the next two Bucks opponents. Well, that game is nearing completion. Just 7 seconds left in overtime, and the Utah Jazz are going to win it. They are now up 5 at 132 to 127. That after a pair of Lauri Markkanen free throw makes. And it's the Utah Jazz that just refuse to go away this season. They've been asked to leave several times, and they're that party guest that just lingers until well beyond how long they should be there. But the Jazz are now going to be 17 and 14 on the season. That's who's in Milwaukee on Saturday night. Big game tonight from Jordan Clarkson and Lauri Bird. Lauri Markkanen with 31 points, 39 from Clarkson, 70 points from that duo. Jazz aren't going anywhere. That is going to be a fun matchup Saturday night. 7 o'clock tip in that one. 6:30 is when our coverage begins on the Bucks radio network. And oh, by the way, these New Orleans Pelicans, who now drop to 18 and 10, second in the Western Conference, that is who the Bucks will have on the road in New Orleans on Monday. So Jazz Saturday, Pelicans on the road on Monday. That starts the five-game road trip. Final five road games of the calendar year. In New Orleans Monday, in Cleveland Wednesday, in Brooklyn on Friday, in Boston on Sunday, Christmas Day, Chicago on the 28th, and then back home to wrap it up. My thanks to Justin Potter.